Turning to the Word of God, one verse of Scripture, Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, for the basis of the message this morning. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21. In this verse of Scripture, Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for every blessing. I thank You for the privilege of coming here each week to bring a message from Your Word. And I pray each time that it will be a message from You, and that You would use it for Your own honor and glory, for the benefit of every listener. You know what the needs of all of us are, and that You're able to supply them. Many bereaved ones in our area this morning, and we pray for them and yea for those the world over. We come on behalf of sick ones and injured ones, those, dear Lord, that are shackled by sin. We pray for them. Thank You for deliverance from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. May others that have not had that experience of grace come to see their need of You. And, oh dear God, in that mysterious, miraculous way, work a work of grace in the hearts of many, cause and enable them to turn to You and to love You and to serve You, and be prepared for eternity. Forgive me of my sins, strengthen me, help me to live for You. In Jesus' name and for His sake I pray, amen. A few days ago I received a form letter from Mike Huckabee, the governor of the state of Arkansas, in which he states, Arkansas consistently ranks as having one of the nation's highest divorce rates and one of the nation's highest teen pregnancy rates, and our prison population increases by 3 people per day. That's 1,095 persons a year that our prison population in the state of Arkansas increases by. I believe that much of this, because of my connection with people that are incarcerated and the testimonies that I hear from them and the things that I know and see, leads me to believe that much of this comes from the abuse of drugs and alcohol. Of course, I understand that alcohol is a drug, but I make mention of them separately. When I read this verse of Scripture that I read to you a moment ago, Revelation 9:21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. I believe the word sorceries is the Greek word pharmakia, and it's where we get our English word pharmacy and pharmaceutical. Primarily, it means the use of medicine or drugs. To convey its meaning to the modern mind, I would translate it drug abusing. It means enchantment with drugs. Now, listen to this verse. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their drug abuse, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. And you notice that it's associated with murders, fornication, and theft. The drug problem is worldwide, and it's in every segment of society. It has spread from partying adults. And I can remember when I first heard of the use of cocaine in this respect. And at that time, it was the partying adults and the more wealthy people. But it has spread from partying adults, then to college students, to high school students, and now to many before they reach their teen years. My listener, Satan is using drug abuse to bring men, women, boys, and girls to ruin and destruction. His purpose in drug abuse is divest the user of the proper control of their mind, making them easily available for possession and control by evil spirits. It is time for Christians to realize that drug abuse is satanic. And in this message this morning, as time permits, I want to use one specific drug from which many others come, but that's the word and the drug cocaine. C-O-C-A-I-N-E. And I would say that the drug of ultimate tragedy is this drug, cocaine. I'm going to examine every letter, as time permits, in the word and show what that word, cocaine, means to me. We began with the first letter, and that's the letter C. The letter C in cocaine means to me that this drug is concocted by Satan. I believe that it is definitely a tool that he uses. And oh, my listener this morning, that we would wake up to the fact that Satan is powerful, that he is wise, that he has all kinds of tricks and devices that he uses to conquer the minds of men, women, boys, and girls, that he might have his way and bring them down to destruction. But there's a verse of Scripture that tells us that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the apostle writes, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices or of his schemes, of his tricks." And this drug use and abuse is a device, it is a trick, it is a scheme of Satan, and it is certainly working for him to accomplish his purpose in destroying the minds and the lives of individuals, of families, of governments, and of nations. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, and said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Satan is on the loose, and Satan is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. This drug is not only concocted by Satan, but this drug, cocaine, is controlled by money mongers and drug lords. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You have only but to look around, and you see some that for a time fly high, as it were, with their drug dealing, with what they can buy with the money that they take in from it. But you see them come all the way down. How many drug lords have we seen come to a bitter end? And how many lives have they destroyed before they were brought down? Cocaine, this drug of ultimate tragedy, is number one concocted by Satan. It is controlled by money mongers and drug lords. And it is consumed by millions that it has deceived. I do not mean for this to be humorous, though you may chuckle a little bit at it. But some time ago, I was talking with a young man that had been arrested for crimes, and immediately I could tell that he was burned up by drugs and just didn't have much mind. But as I tried to counsel with him and talk with him, and he's blaming everything and everybody but himself, and I said to him, "Do you have a drug problem?" And he said, "No, I do some drugs, but it's no problem." He was deceived. And that millions are using and have used this drug. It has deceived them. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I certainly appreciate everything that our law enforcement officers are doing to stop the drug traffic. But I believe that any of them will admit to you that even though they must do everything that they can to take every drug dealer that they can out of business, they realize that every time that they take one out, that someone else or maybe two more are coming in to take their place. Evil men, the Bible says, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But to go on with this word of this drug, the name of this drug, cocaine, the second letter is the letter O, the drug of ultimate choice, cocaine, and that letter O reminds me of how that this drug owns the minds of its users. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and 7, "For to be carnally minded is death, because the carnal mind is enmity against God." My listening, to be carnally minded is to have one's mind dominated. And this drug certainly dominates the mind, controls the mind. A person gets on this drug and the only thing that they think about is this drug and how that they're going to get more of it. And they come to the point that they're doing whatever is necessary to get this drug because they're being controlled by it. It owns them, owns their mind. This drug certainly dominates the mind. It not only owns the mind, but it owns the body. When this drug dominates the mind, that person thinks and cares about one thing. They don't care any more about themselves. They don't care any more about their family. They don't care any more about their job. They care about one thing. One thing is their Lord. And that is this drug. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22. The scripture says, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his own sins." A man told me not long ago who had experienced this and certainly knew what he was talking about. He said it takes you, and it takes everything that you are and everything that you have, and it will not be satisfied until it takes everything that you are and have. Another thing this O represents, it owns your soul. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And fear not them, Jesus said, which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but fear him rather, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh, my listener, this morning, when this drug gets hold of a person, they have nothing in mind except whatever is necessary to come by more of this drug. But I want to move on through this letter, this word using each letter, and I come to the letter C. Now, it cripples homes, and I certainly have seen more of this than I want to see. Homes that have been crumpled, torn down, destroyed, and people suffering. Not only the user and the abuser, but innocent ones suffer because of this. Oh, how that homes need to turn back unto God or turn unto God. Joshua of old in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 said, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But in dealing with this second C in the word cocaine, it not only cripples home, it cripples children. How many children today, we do not know, but how many children today are being brought into this world crippled because of the use of this drug by parents in conception of this child. I go to the 18th chapter of Matthew, and in the first few verses it says that it came at the same time the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I read this just to show you what Jesus thinks about little children and about the children that are being destroyed by the parental use of this drug. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Now listen. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And this drug not only cripples home and cripples children, it collapses nations. My listener this morning, I fear that that's where our nation is headed, and that this is the underlying cause. It collapses nations. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then we come to the A in cocaine, the drug of ultimate tragedy. It animalizes humans. And oh, how that I've gone into homes where this drug had taken over, and see people living and treating others worse than animals, living worse than animals, treating their young worse than animals. And you say, well, I use it, and it certainly doesn't affect me that way. You just hold on, listener, because it will bring you to this. The Bible says in the words of Job, chapter 18, verse 3, "Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight?" It not only analyzes human, it annihilates love. And in that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that we think of as the love chapter, listen to just the first verse. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." I'll tell you, it doesn't do any good for that blurry-eyed drug user to pat some little child on the head or the shoulder and say, "Mama or Daddy loves you," and then go on and treat them in the way that they do. "Though I speak with the tongues of men of angels and have not charity or love, I become as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal." You know, love is the most precious thing that you can share with anyone. Love is a four-letter word, but I often mention the fact that you can spell it T-I-M-E, time. Love is giving some time to those that you say that you love. It not only animalizes humans and annihilates love, it accumulates debt. Many, many persons have brought themselves to physical bankruptcy because of this drug of ultimate tragedy. And then I go on to the letter I. The cocaine user ignores God. The first of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And yet, the user of drugs makes drugs his god. You see, your god is whatever that you put first and foremost in your life. It not only causes the user to ignore God, but it ignites sin. And the person doesn't realize what sin really is. Doesn't realize the exceeding sinfulness of sin. You see, the Bible says no man lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Whatever you might think, and whatever you might wish, and whatever you might say about it bothers no one but you, and it's no one's business but yours. Now listen to this morning. Your life affects and touches someone else's life. Someone cares about you, but you don't think about that. And not only does this drug invite sin and ignite sin, but it invites death and destruction. But let me give you a verse of Scripture that comes to mind, and it's in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, and verse 13. The apostle writes, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful." Oh, that God would wake you up and cause you to see the exceeding sinfulness of this. And as I said, it invites death and destruction. Matthew 7:13 said, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many they be, which go in thereat." To move on to the end in cocaine, it never satisfies. Never satisfies. It's like Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." It never speaks peace. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. It casts up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked." It never sings a Christian song. And the last letter in cocaine is the letter E. this drug of ultimate tragedy, it empties the pocketbook, it erodes reason, and it eventually brings death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. My listener, you need Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I want to thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you, and until we meet again, goodbye.